Hi, and welcome to this episode of the Two Weird Hungry Girls podcast. I'm Phoebe, your host, and I have a very special guest with me today for this episode. And with all of the talk about German eating and Oktoberfest this month, I feel like the best person to connect with for this episode is my friend Nadia Hassani, who is the author of Spoonfuls of Germany, German Regional Cuisine. And she's also the author of Spoonfuls of Germany, the blog website. And Nadia, you've been blogging for how long?
Spoonfuls of Germany, I started exactly 4 years ago in September 2012, mm-hmm. when I realized I was working for a new or updated edition of my book. And I realized that there were many more recipes to share and many more stories. So it basically started as the overflow from the book. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would just put in a few recipes and stories. And so 4 years later, I'm still at it.
Wow. So thank you so much for joining me, because it seems like we're seeing in social media, maybe in your in-mail inboxes for your email, like invitations to go to Oktoberfest parties. And I think that a lot of times we feel like an Oktoberfest is maybe beer and brats, which might be a big misconception in the States for what German food is all about. So tell me a little bit about what you feel like you would share, or the foods you would love to share with your guests if they were going to come and visit and wanted a representation of like what's some great German food.
Well, first of all, I don't have anything against Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. because it's a big German tradition, but it is a Bavarian event, so it's in the south of Germany. And I personally have never been there. I'm from kind of central Germany. My mother's from the north. So I've never been to Oktoberfest, it's a regional tradition. And what happened is that it became so prominent in the United States as the representation once a year of German food, where it's everywhere. But it's really a small part of many, many different traditions in Germany. But the Oktoberfest basically has just monopolized or taken over this idea of the German food and German hospitality. And so that's what happens. And part of it is maybe also that that Bavarian cuisine has also kind of occupied, and I don't mean this in the negative sense, but has, when you think of German cuisine, people often think of really the Bavarian dishes like dumplings and pork roast and sauerkraut and beer. But that is, except for the beer, of course, but those dishes are really Bavarian. So Bavaria has done a very good job of portraying itself as German food in the United States and occupying that spot and not leaving maybe enough room for the other cuisines. But that has been changing also in recent years. But Bavarian cuisine really has this prominent position in the German food landscape.
That's really interesting. I never knew that there was such a Bavarian influence then in German, I don't want to say in German cuisine, but in our perception of what it is.
In the perception, absolutely. I mean, because Germany is a country that's made of different regions with very different regional traditions. But Bavarian food, the food of the south of Germany, is the one that's the most well known in the United States.
What are some of the dishes that you would want to share with a guest if they came into your home that would be like a true representation of some, I don't want to say popular, but some food that's very representative of your culture as an introduction to German food?
Well, that really would very much depend, and that brings me to an important point about German cuisine. It would very much depend on the season. So if you were coming here now in the fall, it would be maybe something with chestnuts, because unbeknownst to many people, there's an area in Germany where chestnut trees have been grown for a long time. So I would now in October, I would make a cream of chestnut soups, which is one of my fall favorites.
A cream of chestnut?
Chestnuts, yes.
Oh, okay.
Edible chestnuts. And I had this interesting experience years ago when friends were visiting from Berlin, and it was around this time of the year, and I made that chestnut soup, cream of chestnut soup. And they said, oh, this is really an excellent soup. And they said, it's an Italian recipe, isn't it? Because Northern Italy is known for its chestnuts. I said, no, guys, actually, this is from Palatinate, which is an area, central South Germany. And they were very surprised. And so I basically had to tell them about this long chestnut tradition in that area of Germany. So, yeah, it would be chestnuts. It would be something with beets, maybe. If I could get my hand on some venison. In Germany, in the fall, venison is very you will find it very important, and you can find it. I mean, nice restaurants or good restaurants have venison or boar, a roast of boar. Mm-hmm. So, and certainly something with mushrooms in the fall. If you came here in the spring, it would be different. It might be a soup of something with fresh spring herbs, or the signature dish of my hometown, Frankfurt, which is a seven herb sauce. Something with maybe rhubarb also, which is important. So it really would depend on which time of the year you came here, because German cuisine has always been very seasonal. So then, of course, in May you have the white asparagus. May, June you have the white asparagus. Every restaurant in during that time of the year serves something with white asparagus. So German cuisine is very seasonal, and that really, that's why you can't really say this is the dish for the entire year. It really varies depending on when and where you are. Also. Mm-hmm.
So you didn't once mention brats and sauerkraut yet in your list.
No, I didn't. Well, I'm nothing against those. Uh-huh. I mean, on a cold winter day, they are good, but they are just, there's a lot of other things that are also healthier and mm-hmm. something a little bit more where you can cook with fresh ingredients, because sauerkraut is super healthy and I love it. It's very tasty if it's well done. But if I have a fresh vegetable I can cook, especially during the seasons when I can get my hands on fresh produce locally, then I would rather use that. And so while I'm very much into German food, because that's my culinary heritage, I'm also very much into local ingredients and seasonal fresh food from as close as I can get it. Mm-hmm. And those two don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can cook basically any cuisine, including German cuisine. You can cook, I always say, you can cook global and buy or grow local.
Mm-hmm. I like that notion that you can still buy local and cook global. So what Absolutely. are there some kind of seasonings or ingredients? Like is there like a creamy base, or the use of sour cream, or a particular herb that's traditional to German cooking? I mean, that's a broad question, because we could talk about savory to sweet, like elderberries to, I don't know, caraway seed. In a savory application.
Not really. I mean, it really depends what you make, but mm-hmm. like a standard seasoning, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing that's used throughout Germany is for something very important in baking and desserts, which is the vanilla sugar.
Oh, what is vanilla sugar?
Vanilla sugar is basically white sugar that is vanilla flavored. Okay. And you can buy it in little sachets in Germany. And actually, there are two different types. There's the real vanilla sugar, in which ground vanilla beans are added. Mm-hmm. And then there is also a synthetically produced one that smells like vanilla, but is, I think it's something made out of conifers. It's not completely artificial, but it is basically a substitute. And but the vanilla sugar is added to almost every cake or baked goods, sweet baked goods, and desserts. That's really something that's used all over, and it's very easy to make your own. You don't have to go in. And I mean, in the United States, it's hard to find, and it's very easy to make your own. And I always have a big jar in the pantry. I use it for a lot of things.
I didn't know that. I should try to make some. But do you use that in your cookbook? Is it listed in your cookbook in the baking section? I'm looking through some of the baking recipes.
No. At that point, I don't think I had really discovered that I can make it myself so easily. And at that time also, which the book came out in 2004, and the supply situation, so to speak, has changed quite a bit since. So at that time, I was pretty reluctant to not to include things that people had a hard time finding. And so I think in most of the recipes, I was just using substituting vanilla extract because it's much easier. But now I would mainly go for the vanilla sugar, and usually also on my blog I provide the formula for homemade vanilla sugar.
Oh, okay. Is that on the blog? Is that on your blog?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, good. That's something we can search for on the blog.
And one thing to do with vanilla sugar also, I mean, sometimes people tell you, or some recipes tell you, to basically just put a split of vanilla bean in half and put it in a container with sugar and then let it sit and wait. But I don't have the patience. I don't do this. I basically grind, buy the vanilla the powder, and then I put it in the food processor.
Oh.
And then it makes a very intensely flavor with a little sugar. And then you do have to cover the food processor because it creates incredible dust. But that's the most intense vanilla sugar that you can get. And that's my little formula that I use.
Oh, I like that. I'll have to try that sometime this winter with maybe some baking recipes. So almost all of your recipes in the cookbook have a story with the recipe. Is that important to you with some of these in particular? Because I'm looking here and there's, you know, you talk about destinations in Germany and locations. Are there family recipes in here or recipes that were passed down that are special to you from your cookbook?
Definitely. I mean, there's my grandmother's Black Forest cake, which, I mean, of course, I'm kind of partial, but I have never found a Black Forest cake that tasted as good as that one. But of course, I mean, that's maybe my palate is just prejudiced at that point. But there are some other recipes from family and friends. But generally, yes, I mean, I do think that it's, I mean, there's no recipe that doesn't really have a story. Either it's because how the recipe came about or how it changed over time, because it was sometimes things just started because there's a famine and then there's this new food was discovered. For example, there's in Germany, there's green spelt, which is the spelt grains when they're unripe. And there was, at the time, there was a famine in that area, southern area of Germany. And so the farmers harvested the spelt unripe and green and roasted it. And it turned out to be a very nutritious, delicious food. And that became one of the new age foods. Yes. It's been always around, but in the last few years, it's been rediscovered. And it's really great for soups and things like vegan patties and or even vegetarian hamburgers and things like that. So that came about as a food during a famine. So every recipe, whether it's the recipe itself, how it was changed over time, or some of the ingredients, every recipe has a story. And through the recipe, often you just learn so much about the country. I have to say, when I was in high school, at the time we didn't have really history as a subject in school. So my knowledge about German history was pretty basic. And then when I started getting into German food and researching little tidbits of history, I feel like I've filled the many blank spots I had about German history just by researching the food, because my knowledge was so basic, and there were so many things I had no idea about. And through the food, I basically acquired so much knowledge, still piecemeal, but somehow a bigger picture, just through the food and researching the recipes.
Mm-hmm. How can someone who doesn't have a lot of knowledge about, especially German cuisine and it being Oktoberfest month, how can someone learn a little bit more about German culture or German food culture?
Oh, that's a tough question because most of the, let's say, the websites, the easily accessible things on the internet is a lot of the already well-known things. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, for example, the German Tourist Board is really trying to show more about regional specialties and mm-hmm. and so showing, of course, a more diverse picture. Then also there's the German. It's basically the government run radio program, Deutsche Welle. They have a program, and I recently just watched the short program about Black Forest cake and a chef in the Black Forest who showed that only regional ingredients, the cherries from the orchards nearby, go into the cake. So you have to look around a little bit, but mm-hmm. because most of the stuff, you really have to dig through that thick layer of Oktoberfest before you get to some more diverse things.
Now, if we can direct people to your website, and you could maybe share maybe two or three recipes that are some of your favorites that maybe someone can experiment with this month in honor of like Oktoberfest. Aside from the cream of chestnut soup? That one, I think that one's online, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Cream of chestnut. Yes. Are there maybe mm-hmm. other two other recipes that are seasonal for this time of year that people could try for the first time? And pretzels, soft pretzels don't count.
No, I don't. I don't think I would count them. I'll have to think about that. Mm-hmm.
And we can always put them in the show notes, too. If you want to just email me later, we can always just put them in the show notes for this episode.
I would want to pick really the best and also mm-hmm. the most, the easiest to prepare. Because I always think it's important that people have access when I suggest something or I present a new recipe on my blog. I want to make sure that you can get the recipes and you don't have to necessarily mail order it or run to 10 different supermarkets to get the ingredients. So I would want to give that a little thought and get back to you because I want to make sure that this is something that can be prepared without much difficulty.
I like that you're thoughtful about this instead of just putting things out there. So we'll put those in the show notes. I think that's a really good idea. And direct people right to your website and to the blog where they can make the seasonal recipes that are easy to make. So here's what I love about your cookbook. And my mother-in-law has met you before, but we went up to a destination. We were up at your house visiting for the garden tour. But my mother-in-law loves your cookbook because it's practical and because it's simple. And that's what she's told me about some of the recipes that she's prepared. And you can find this book on Amazon, right?
Well, as a matter of fact, the book, the latest edition, which is from 2013, I think it's sort of out of print right now, and it won't be reprinted. But it's available now as an ebook mm-hmm. on Amazon also, and I'm working on a new book. I've been doing this for a number of years now, in which I'm going to pour everything that I love about German cuisine. It will include regional recipes as well as other staples. So it will be kind of the repertoire of everything that I love about German cuisine. Some adaptations because I'm here in America, so I always have to think about what can I get here? How do I have to adapt and substitute? So that's very important because I really want to reach the many people in America with not necessarily of German descent, but there are lots of people of German descent who are looking to learn more about their culinary heritage. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, but 46 million Americans worth of German descent. And the interest in German cuisine and culinary heritage is growing. And that's really the group I want to prepare the recipes for them so that they can be accessible. They should be always authentic, but they should also be accessible. And so that's my goal.
Okay. I think that's wonderful. So that's something we can look forward to, I think, seeing from you. How can people find you, Nadia, online? What is your website?
Spoonfulsofgermany.com is my blog. And um, I I do this in my free time, so I don't blog very often, and I usually work on a story for quite a bit, and I don't feel this need to crank out new stories all the time. So whenever I have a good topic, I write about it, and there's really no clear frequency, but that's why I blog. And then there's all the recipes are on a special, like on a page with all the recipes listed, and sometimes I contribute recipes elsewhere. And then I also have a Facebook page where basically if I have something exciting to share or something that I feel I should rerun some great recipes that I want people to rediscover, I post them there. So okay.
And that's at Spoonfuls of Germany, of course, too.
Yes.
Okay. And I really appreciate your time. And thank you so much for sharing some recipes that are out of our normal thinking for Oktoberfest or German cuisine. And I think that we should get together. There was another topic that we wanted to talk about at a later date, and I can't remember what it is right now. But there was something. Do you remember what it was?
Yes, it was the Cook Global by Local.
Yes. Okay, we'll have to get together. We'll do another podcast and talk about that, because I know you're still involved very locally with sourcing local ingredients and coming up with creative recipes and inspiration. So we'll talk about that in another episode. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you're really busy, and it's wonderful. It's always wonderful to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in, guys. And be sure to find Nadia's website, Spoonfuls of Germany. I know you'll enjoy it. Find her on Facebook as well. And then you can find the ebook on Amazon, which is a really nice thing to have in the kitchen. So thank you for tuning in. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. Subscribe to the podcast if you love talking food and lifestyle and healthy food habits. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.